I'm Sean.
I'm Maxine.
And we're CCTV, and we're here on BFM, the best radio station, to talk about Austerity Blues, our new EP. Home again, sitting on a Saturday night.
Where would you guys say you were this time last year?
Doing some of our first practices, right? Or like...
Yeah, I don't think we had played a gig.
Yeah, we hadn't played a gig at this point. Yeah.
That was mad. That's kind of mad.
That's really weird to think about. Yeah. I don't think we played a gig. Like, this time last year, I think we were still just practicing, coming up with songs. We hadn't gone out yet.
What can you guys say about what you've achieved so far over the past 12 months?
I feel like things are going pretty well. I'm, like, happy with the music and, like, how we're performing for the most part at the moment. Austerity Blues! Austerity Blues! Austerity
Blues! Oh, Austerity Blues! It's kind of weird. I kind of feel like we're exactly where we need to be right now.
I think, honestly, we're quite a bit further than where I thought we would be in about a year. I was like, when we started the band and when we were practicing, quite a few of us were beginners at our instruments or not as practiced as we could have been. Yeah. So, like, for example, I think Joss, it was like her first time playing bass was for this band.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite impressive to see how far everyone's gone with all their instruments, like how much better we've become as songwriters. And it's also been really fun to see, like, how the community has, like, kind of come around us and how we've managed to meet so many cool new people in that short amount of time. It's awesome. And all the bars are fucking closed.
I was in a band way back in high school and we were coming up with names. I was like, what's a good band name? And he went, CCTV. And I was like, we should call it CCTV, that's great. And then the guy running the band was like, no, that's a shit name. So then 6 years later, we had a flatmate. He's moved out now, but it was me and Joss lived together, our bassist, and then we had another flatmate who was going to play guitar. And we were like, oh my God, we should make a band. You know, like everyone is like, oh yeah, yeah. And then I was like, I know the perfect name for the situation. I've stored it for 6 years. He moved out, and we were like, we don't know any drummers. What are we gonna do? We can't stand a band without a drummer. And then, bada bing, bada boom, Jocelyn meets Maxine, and we knew Eve, and we were like, oh, perfect. Like, it's like destiny coming together, you know? Like, the fate has aligned.
And then Amos joined in as well.
Then Amos joined, yeah.
Quite a bit of it was, quite a few of the people in the band were already friends or had friends of friends. So there was already quite a bit of just like chemistry with them just hanging out, just knowing each other kind of casually, which helps quite a lot when you form a band. It's just like you already know this person. You already know like whether you want to hang out with them further or whether you want to go through with this with them, you know?
Mm. When they joined, it was like a perfect click because we were like, oh, we like all the same albums. We like the same music. Everything we show each other, we're like, oh my God, this is perfect. So, like, the vision kind of came together really quickly. I think we put together, like, a homework list for everyone else.
Yeah, we did.
To listen to.
I think it's still on my Spotify. It's like
there,
like a long collaborative playlist of, like, these are songs that we kind of want things to sound like or that we think everyone should listen to.
Yeah. He walks me this way
and a bottle of sloth.
It's good. It's a relief. You know, like, it's nice just to get it out and have that be something almost ticked off. What do you think?
I'm really happy with it. I'm quite glad that it's out as well, because my parents have been hounding me to listen to our music. My parents are overseas, so they haven't been able to come to gigs, but they've just been like, I want to listen to it. I want to see what's up. So it's nice to have something physical that I can show to other people and just be like, hey, this is what we sound like. This is what we're up to.
Yeah, I think it's also just, like, satisfying as like a culmination of like the year's work. A lot of bands like break up, like bands break up all the time, especially bands at like our kind of scene level, and they make all this great music and then someone has to leave and like things go awry and then all of that music is lost forever, and there's no, apart from like the flyers and like the things people like talk about, there's no record that it ever existed or was ever there. And I think that's kind of sad. So I really wanted to make sure. I was thinking about that and I was like, oh my God, we need to make a record so that this exists like as something longer than ourselves, I guess. There was plenty of, oh, we should do this or we should do that. But it only became real about, I want to say like a month before we actually recorded the thing.
Yeah, I think so. Like it was quite late into it that we actually felt that we had what we wanted for the EP. Before that, it was mostly just like, oh, we've got like quite a few songs. We have some ideas, but we're not really sure exactly what we want to put or like if we want to have something with what we've got right now.
Yeah. And then also like when planning the EP, I think there was a sense personally, I was thinking about like past eras in history and past musical movements. And you look at like Reagan era or Bush era, and there's like all this music like reflecting and reacting to that kind of situation. And it was like, where's our music, man? Like there's all this terrible stuff happening and we're kind of continuing like business as usual. Maybe I should write something instead of like whining about it to myself.
The title track, Austerity Blues. What sparked the track? Where were you guys as a band when you were writing it?
We knocked out everything and like all the recording in like 2 days, but it would have been about a month before, I think.
Yeah, I think it was a month before that you came in to practice with the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of King Cruel. I was like, I want to write something with King Cruel chords.
I think it was the closures of a lot of all ages venues, right?
Yeah.
That was quite a big inspiration of it.
But closed. Underground's gone. Wine Cellar's gone. Somewhere else I'm probably missing right now is gone.
I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I remember there were quite a few that were either getting quite a lot of complaints or getting shut down. Yeah, it was just kind of tragic, honestly.
Yeah, because it was the last one to be written on the EP. Like, it was like, I wrote that and I was like, oh, okay, this is like what ties everything together. But it was mainly like, you know, being unemployed for a while and being sad that I had no cash to go to gigs. I was like, oh, my friends are playing music, but I can't afford to go. This is really sad. And then also just seeing, you know, bands break up, people move to Melbourne, like kind of felt like everything was like collapsing in our musical infrastructure in Auckland. It was like pretty depressing. Yeah.
Like with the state of New Zealand as it is right now, a lot of people in general are moving overseas or like to Australia in particular. And just seeing like musicians do that as well and seeing that influence the community is just like, oh.
Yeah, because we could all like pack up and like move to Melbourne or whatever and probably do better over there. But like, I don't want to play music in Melbourne. I want to play in the city I was born. You know what I mean? Like, this is our home. Home again, sitting on a Saturday night. Can't find a job, but I'm still getting by. 21 hasn't been quite what I thought it would be. Let's go. Think I'm down with the austerity blues. Austerity blues. Austerity blues. Austerity blues. Oh. Austerity blues. Austerity.
'cause no one's got no fucking money. And all the bands are up to us, 'cause they got no fucking money. And we did this to ourselves, 'cause we're a stupid little country. And all the bars are fucking closed.
You can kind of tell where the music was written, or like when-ish. For example, like MP, the lyrics haven't changed since we've written it.
Oh, true.
But like the chant is like National 100%, Labor 95%, 95%.
Oh, yeah, let's crack it.
And now it's 100%, 100%. Is that how many of them are like landlords or like landowners?
It's like,
so the statistic has changed, but we just haven't changed it in the song. So.
Oh, yeah, because it would have been written before the last general election.
Yeah. I'm not originally from New Zealand. I'm originally from Hong Kong. And whenever I was writing music, I started writing music maybe in high school, I think. Quite a lot of it was inspired by the political situation in Hong Kong. And a lot of it was around democracy for the most part. And coming to New Zealand, in my head, because I'd never lived in New Zealand before, when I was coming to New Zealand, I was like, this is a lot more of like a stable place. This seems like a place that has a lot more political stability. It seems like everything will be a bit better when I come in. I come in and it's not really, like, it's better, but it's not what I'd hoped it would be politically. So quite a bit of my inspiration for lyric writing, that kind of thing, is still just like almost a bit of disappointment, honestly. Just like coming here and seeing that some of these things are still issues when, you know, in my head I had it as this wouldn't be an issue in this place, because in my head I had it as New Zealand is like a better place. I think that was one of the earlier songs that we brought up, right? I think it was before Big Wheels. That was one of the first songs that we wrote.
I have a very distinct memory of us being on the way to practice, and like I had worked out the music and the rhythm of it. And I was like out loud, like, give me something that rhymes with rat or something like that in the car driving to practice.
Rats in the ceiling, rats in the house, shame on floor with a tenant mouth. See the tag cuts on the TV, my rat is in my mouth. Holes in the ceiling, holes in the wall, cause my leech is on the ball. If you got a problem with it, don't bother giving them a call. All the blizzard at least corrupt. Who benefits when the rents go up? How many other in a trust? Who benefits when the rents go up? All the blizzard at least corrupt. Who benefits when the rents go up? How many other in a trust? Who benefits? Beat up a kid, who gives a shit? Sure, you can have an electorate. What's your disabled benefit? Maybe try working, don't be a bitch. Trade not working, what a cinch. Try a car, it's electric. Don't ask who's funding this message. And yes, I once tried cannabis.
Now some statistics on MP home ownership in New Zealand.
Labor 95%, National 100%. Labor 95%, National 100%. Labor 95%, National
can't do nothing and stand up here alone. Under the imprint of the shit is broken and stand up here alone. If you tell them I lose your home and stand up here alone. Pay the mortgages on that house and stand up here alone. Take our money but they don't do nothing and stand up here alone. Under the imprint of the shit is broken and stand up here alone. If you tell them I lose your home and stand up here alone. If you tell them I lose your home and stand up here alone.
I grew up in Remmers, and like, people in Remmers have fucking big cars. Like, they drive those crazy ass 4x4 SUVs. They're no, you know, they're not carting around farming equipment. You know what I mean? Like, they don't need that stuff. But it's, I don't know, it's like mad. It's ridiculous.
I think it's quite a funny song. I think it's hilarious. Like, going. When I grew up, I was, like, not really around cars that often at all because big city, lots of good public transport, that kind of thing. I move here, and then there's, like, comparatively just so much more road rage. The people here are not great drivers. I'll say that. And when Sean came in with that song, I was like, I love this. We need to, like, keep this one on there. We need to expand it. This is hilarious. It's awesome.
Yeah, because the first time we played it was at that Nightmare gig at Whammy Backroom. Rest
oh,
in peace.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't know how to, like, book a gig properly, and it was our first time booking a gig where we didn't know the other people on the set list. So we were like, oh, you know, we got to get this together in a month. We got to reach out to a bunch of people because most of them will say no. And then four bands said yes. So we had a lineup with five bands. And Whammy Backroom's policy, for some reason, was that the show had to start at 10 p.m. onwards because of noise control stuff with the adjacent venues. So when we finally get on, it's like 1 in the morning. There's no one in the venue apart from the band that just went before us. Like, everyone else went home. And we played Big Wheels for the first time.
The guitar was written by me a while ago. I was literally just like in my room and I had the tune just come to my head and I was like, okay, I need to like write this down somehow. I wrote it down and then I thought, actually, this would make kind of like a sick, sudden, slow song for like a kind of set of punk lyrics or something. And I couldn't come up with anything. So I went to Sean and I was like, hey, I have this tune. Please help. Please help me out with this.
I remember that night.
Yeah.
I was watching, you and Joss were in Joss's room, and I was watching, like, some stupid movie. Thing. I overheard it. I think I, like, ran over and opened the door and was keep working on that. That sounds good. Keep going.
Yeah, I was showing it to Joss, and I was like, I should, like, show this to Sean. I was actually just about to, like, get up and be like, please help. And then you were just like, what are you working on? That one, I think the tune, I can't say if it was specifically inspired by anything. I don't think I was listening to a particular artist at that time. It was just something that kind of, I heard it in my head, and I was just like, this sounds good. I like this. See if it worked with punk. If not, then whatever.
I think it's very much about desperately wanting to escape where you're living and go anywhere else. Like, there was a period last year where I felt like I was gonna, like, tear my skin off and eat myself if I didn't get out of Auckland. I think I've recovered now. But I was genuinely losing my mind for a little while. With the EP, I kind of view it as like split into two halves. You know, like the first three songs are all lowercase and the last three songs are all uppercase. Part of the reasoning behind that is I think that kind of listlessness that you get from being stuck in the same city for so long influences the topics that like come later on in the EP, like the last two songs. I think it creates this kind of like nihilism and, I don't know, antisocialness that has some, like, really kind of scary and damaging effects. Working with our producer, Noah, helps clarify how we were actually going to achieve that. Because we knew we wanted them to flow into each other, but we didn't know exactly how we were going to do that. And he was like, well, you can do this, this, and this. And then it kind of sorted it out. So I thought it was, like, a creation purely of like the mind, but then someone reminded me like 2 weeks ago that we know someone who like the song, the thing that happens in the song like actually happened to, having a fall at bar 101 and having to like go home and stumble through the night in the fog like drunk and then sad. So that was kind of crazy. It like mostly came from I don't know. I feel like going to university and going to school and stuff, it's like everyone's met the type.
There's kind of like a duality in how some people behave. Like, there's a type of person who, I mean, I've definitely personally met at university, who pretends to be like an upstanding kind of person, or like around like friends who are like female or girls or queer or that kind of stuff. They pretend to be some type of person, but then you hear about something that they've done that definitely shows they're not.
Yeah. It's like you guys are like all like progressive and all like lefty until you have like 3 beers and you become like 16th century misogynists and say the most like crazy shit ever.
He walks with a sway and a bottle of sloth and the things that he says. It's like, oh my God, he's out of control. He's out of control. He's out of control. He's out of control. When he's with the girls, he's so progressive. But when he's with the boys, it's a different message. He's a drunk entitled college boy. 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 Kicked out by 101, they head to by 102. Yeah, it's not a pretty sight, but it's Auckland. Nothing else to do. Kicked out by 101, so they head to by 102. Yeah, it's not a pretty sight, but it's Auckland. Nothing else to do. He was talking to the ladies. It was going pretty well till he tripped on the banister and down he fell. He's fall. He's falling into darkness, he's falling. Now he's all alone on the cold, cold street. Didn't charge his phone. Stumbles home in the freezer, another dump. Drunk, got his boy, another dump. Drunk, got his boy, another dump. Drunk, got his boy, another dump. Drunk, got his boy. Kicked out. But 101, so they head to but 102. Yeah, it's not a pretty sight, but it's Auckland. There's nothing else to do. Kicked out! But 101, so they head to but 102. Yeah, it's not a pretty sight, but it's Auckland. There's nothing else to do!
It was like definitely sourced from like growing up and like, you know, being around like, for lack of a better term, like all boys situations and seeing the difference in how people like act when they're like on the piss versus like when they're kind of putting up a front. I think non-co-ed schools are the devil and are maybe one of the worst things that happen in this country. Like for real. It's like the same thing with like MP, right? Like, all of our MPs never have to deal with housing instability, or like housing is something that benefits them. So there's no incentive to like fix housing policy, right? It's the same thing with schools. If your kids only go to private schools, you're not going to like help out the education system at all. And then like with co-ed and non-co-ed schools, I feel like never having to interact with like opposite gender or opposite sex or whatever does like irreversibly terrible things to your brain and your ability to develop as a human being, right? Like, I don't know.
If you grow up barely ever interacting with the opposite sex, then you're never really going to be able to interact with them in a good way or like a meaningful way, you know? Like, it's hard to learn how to interact with them once those years have like passed. Yeah. And you form, I feel like you form kind of an opinion of them that they're more of an other than they actually are, just by virtue of not having interacted with them.
Kind of linking back to the song, like, there is also this massive, like, I mean, there's a binge drinking culture everywhere, but especially around these like all boys schools. And it's not really surprising when they're like raised in a situation where like girls are like space aliens, you know what I mean? Basically, ever since like high school onwards, like, my closest friends and my best friends have always been like women or, you know, non-binary people. I guess personally, there's been a ridiculous amount of like situations where like people have had their boundaries like violated. So it's like on my mind like a lot of the time. It came early because it's almost like a virtue signal, right? You're signaling your beliefs to the audience, right? And I wanted it to be clear, like, we're not gonna like fuck around with that stuff, you know what I mean? Especially since I think, despite it being like a progressively orientated genre, I think there's been like a lot of that stuff in like punk and alternative circles in the past. So like being really clear and being like, no, like, we're really, like, this is a big deal.
Go, 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 go! Mama never told them much, so now they feel that they can touch anyone and anyone and anyone they wanna fuck. Bars and in the schools, church homes and public rooms, all call projectors, cannot see it. Tell me now, are you black too? Do good by your daughters, too much to take to fuck around, so be careful of a penis size of an idiot, go lay them out. Do good by your sons, too much to take to fuck around, so be careful of a penis size of an idiot, go lay them out. Permission, justification, retroactive, anything to try and act as violence, misunderstanding. Power makes power, fathers protect their sons, no need for consent when you come from a trust fund. Do good by your sisters. Two is to take the fuck around, so be careful of a B-size. If you see it, go lay them out. Do good by your brothers. Two is to take the fuck around, so be careful of a B-size. If you see it, go lay them out. Go lay them out. Go lay them out.
Circling back to what you said at the end there, Sean, that label punk, how do you guys sit with that? labeling yourselves as punk?
I kind of think of punk less so in music now, just because, you know, punk has evolved quite a bit as music, or it's not like the same, or punk is like quite an, like, we're not similar to old school punk, I don't think. We have some songs that are, but as a whole, our band isn't. But in terms of like the message of punk, I think we're still kind of around that area.
Like, yeah, very I can much, see that.
Yeah.
Like the explicitness is there and the directness is there. Yeah, no, 100%. And we're still like, we're still standing on the shoulders of those giants, right? It's just kind of like the reason those bands back in the day were exciting and were cool is because they were different from what came before. I guess to kind of honor that and continue in that tradition, we want to try and do things that sound different and are not the same thing forever, you know? That's also part of why we wanted to include austerity blues and streets in on it too, is to like, you know, we're not just like doing the same thing over and over. We're like, we have variation and we're doing different stuff, I guess. I don't really personally like to kind of stay in one place for too long. Like, once the EP was recorded, like, my mind was off it almost immediately. I was like, okay, what are we doing next? Like, what's the next?
No, that's so real.
So, like, what's the next, like, gig or record or whatever? We had 2 full days at the studio to get most of it done, and then one day where I came in and did the vocals and we finished up the mastering. For the first day, we were just trying to get as many roughs down as possible because we knew we were going to be able to get it through it pretty quickly, because we decided that we wanted to do as many just straight through recordings as possible. Like, we didn't want to patch in. We wanted to try and get it as like authentically as we could. We didn't nail it like 100%. There was a few things we had to touch up, but yeah, like, we moved pretty fast. For Docs, like, I don't even know if it's good to admit it, but there's like a lot I regret about how we made it. It's like an experience being in the studio. Like, the people at Big Fan are like super good and super talented. It's just like any time there was like a decision point, I feel like I made the like wrong decision.
A big part of it for me as well was when we went in to do Doxed, I think we did all the instruments individually. Like, we did that separately. We did the drums first, then the guitar, then the bass and the synth, then the vocals. With going into Depot Sound, we had the opportunity to have everyone in the same room playing at the same time together, which I think lent to our strengths a lot better, especially since, you know, we're a band who really, really enjoys to play live with each other and with other people, like, in the audience, that kind of thing. It feels a lot more natural that way, so I think that kind of eased a lot of our anxiety and a lot of our fear around it, too.
Me and Jocelyn, when we're not, like, doing music stuff, are, like, graphic design students in our daily lives or whatever. So, like, thinking about iconography and symbols and the way you create an identity around something is, like, on our minds a lot. So we had these different kind of symbols that we knew we wanted to work into things, and, like, a color palette that we wanted to do. I think the most successful kind of work around this stuff has like really consistent ideas that are repeating over and over, right? So for us, it's like the jerry can is something that's all over everything we're working on at the moment. It's on the like tour poster, it's on the album cover, obviously. For our 2 live performances, we made these jumpsuits and they had like these flames on the back and like all the branding and stuff. I think next time we want to push it further, like, we want to make it super consistent and like really expand it. Not just as like a promo thing or whatever, but like we love doing that. Like, we love illustrating, we love like designing stuff.
At the beginning of February, you guys embarked on the Austerity Blues mini tour. It was your first tour. How was it?
It was a good experience. And I think it may have been, like, cursed. Like, so much went wrong for both shows. We had a great time. On the first show, our friend and who does, like, sound engineering for us sometimes, he's, like, on the way over, his car ran out of gas, and he had to go to a gas station and, like, fill up a can, and then he came back, and his laptop was, like, stolen. And then we had like massive sound issues the whole time. And then this, like, at the first show, this drunk guy started like being really weird in the crowd, and there was a standoff with him, and we had to throw him out. And then in Tauranga, there was like all these sound issues as well, and no one showed up. But at least this will be like, this was like pretty fun, despite the issues, and it'll probably be the least smooth that it ever goes, you know. It's like what keeps things going, you know, like things are pretty dire at the moment, like a lot of stuff is really bad, but like that community and the music and like things keeping going and being like a part of that circle or that kind of scene is like, at least for me, is like what keeps me like going. And like, because if there's like no music, it's like if things are bad and there's no music, it's like what's the point? We may as well like, I don't know, keel over, you know. It's like pretty grim, but it's like this is the shit that keeps you alive, you know what I mean?